Halloween is soon upon us. And the party, well, it's mostly people getting drunk in slutty costumes. But the party does happen, and it usually happens in Shinjuku and Shibuya. And then they're like, last year going, hey, 2 years ago, you guys like flipped over a car and set shit on fire. So, the mayor said Shibuya will be closed on Halloween this year. And so they've imposed a ban on drinking. So on around Shibuya Station, you're not allowed to drink in public on Halloween night. And in Shinjuku, you're not allowed to drink on Halloween night anymore. And this is a big shift because this was a big party. Obviously, a lot of people come here. A lot of money is made. So what is the big problem? The big problem is they just trash the place. The mayor of Shinjuku said leaving trash behind is not the behavior of an educated, rational person. Educated, rational people drink and do dumb things. And that's just true across the board. I don't know if there's any sort of real argument to be made there. Rational, educated people make bad decisions. That's just the fact. He is basically calling anyone who came to Shinjuku or Shibuya to party on Halloween night a degenerate, which I don't think that's really cool. Like, it gets out of hand. You want to stop it? You could address that as the issue, but then calling people names, come on, man. But then there's the other side of it as well. And it's something that I, as a foreign person living in Japan, I think about other foreign people living in Japan and how they represent me. And the drinking in public has always been a bit of an issue because I come from a country where drinking in public is not allowed. You're not allowed to just walk around downtown, get on the train and drink a beer. Foreign people come to Japan, they find out you are allowed to drink in public. You're allowed to walk around downtown. You're allowed to get on a train and drink a beer. So they do it. They do it constantly. They're not taking into account, is it socially acceptable? Are they making themselves look bad? Are they behaving well? So drinking in public isn't the issue. It's abusing the ability to drink in public that is the issue for me. So I do, like, I have friends and they finish work Friday night. They grab a beer from a convenience store. They get on the train on the way home and they drink their beer. No one else is doing that on the train. People drink beer on the Shinkansen. That's almost like a tradition at this point. People don't get on a local train and start drinking unless you're like a 70-year-old man who's got a bit of another issue going on. So I look at that and I go, okay, what is socially acceptable is also still sort of a rule. And then if you push the boundaries and you go too far, then you get actual rules put into place, like in Shibuya, in Shinjuku. And that's where I'm like, I'm kind of on both sides. I think if the rules and the laws say you should be allowed to drink in public, you should be allowed to drink in public. But if you're going to trash a place, they're going to make a rule and stop you. But also, don't shit on mostly 20-year-olds who are drinking for the first time and just having a good time on Halloween, because that's what people do on Halloween. Dove, the beauty company. I actually only know them from soap. I'm sure they do much, much more than soap. My beauty routine essentially includes washing my face and moisturizing. And now, because I have a beard at the moment, beard oil. I've done several advertisements for the beard oil I bought recently, and I'm not getting anything for it. I just like keep picking it up because the box is on my desk, and then doing like a impromptu ad, which I'm going to stop. If you want to pay me to do beard oil ads, I will, but I think I got to get it a bit too. So Dove, they want to promote beauty standards, but then they're also like trying to break down the walls of beauty standards. This is a hard thing for a company to do. There's a fine line. And then the reason I'm talking about them is because they kind of missed the line altogether on this one. They put out an ad to say that there's no standard to what is attractive. And they're trying to say, like, you know, beauty standards, they're a false narrative. It's something society makes and imposes on you. You're beautiful the way you are. That's a pretty good message. And then they went and listed a whole bunch of beauty standards. Now, I didn't know most of these beauty standards existed. So now that I do know, I'm more aware of them. If I was, let's say, a self-conscious teenager and saw a whole bunch of beauty standards I didn't know about, and then I could start measuring myself in new and more difficult and more difficult to attain ways, well, that would suck. And that's why people got upset. But let's just go into the beauty standards I learned, because that's the fun part. In Japanese, it's called Supe 110. So it's the height minus weight ratio is the standard for being thin. So I am 183, maybe 184 centimeters. I am 90 kilos. So if I take my height and minus my weight, that is what I should be weight-wise. I actually don't really understand that one. There's a formula there somewhere that I'm not quite getting. I bet there's a remainder, and that's how either how many kilos I need to lose or how many I need to be. I'm not sure. I would need someone to come in and explain the formula to me, but it's height minus weight equals thin. Jinchu Michikai. This is the groove between the nose and the upper lip determines how cute something is. So it's basically how the space on your face, like if it's too squished, it's not cute. If it's too far away, it's not cute. So this is like the perfect amount between your nose and your lip to make sure that you are attractive. This is sort of the symmetrical face idea. Like there's going to be certain measurements. If I was a modeling agency place, I'm sure I would actually know all this and think all this. And then there would be times I'd be like, well, that person's a beautiful, unique way. And I would hire that model, that kind of thing. But I can understand these are actual things that some people take very seriously. There's the line connecting the nose and your chin in profile. So my chin should not jut out too far and my chin should not be too far in, or my nose should not be too far out and my nose should not be too flat for me to have an attractive profile. Therefore, that's going to make me more attractive. So now I can go in the mirror and sort of look to the side and try to decide, is my nose too big? Is my chin too big, or something like that? The interesting thing, now that we're actually talking about this, these beauty standards, and this is Dove, the beauty company, they sell soap and makeup and stuff. None of their products would actually help with any of these. So they could say like, oh, is your skin dry? Use our soap. It'll make it, you know, more beautiful and moist. We don't care about the shape of the skin it's on, the shape of the face. We don't care about the shape of the face that your skin is on because you're beautiful, but you want to have healthy skin. They could do that. We have makeup. It will, you know, take care of blemishes or hide blemishes or things like that. Once they get into all the like symmetry of the human face, you're now talking about plastic surgery if you want to fix it. And now that you've put it in people's heads, they might actually want to fix it. So this is again where they've gone wrong. The thigh gap ari. So thigh gap is actually just English and ari means have. So do you have a thigh gap? If you don't have a thigh gap, you're fat. I mean, that's kind of what they're trying to say, even though for, I think for a lot of people, it's just not natural to have a thigh gap. The chu gunmen 6 centimeter. So this is under your eyes to your lips. It measures, should be 6 centimeters. This is, again, it's an idea of how big your face is. And so in Asia, Japan particularly, a small face is considered more attractive. So I have big features or a big face. That's not attractive in Asia. Now, there's beauty standards are different all around the world. So that's something to take into account. The beauty standards they're talking about in this ad are the Japanese beauty standards. Japan beauty standards very much geared towards youth, geared towards cuteness, and that's not going to be the same in other countries. But again, now that I've actually started reading this out loud, I didn't think about this when I was writing it down. None of the beauty standards they're talking about could be taken care of product. These are only things you could take care of with plastic surgery if you were self-conscious about it, which now they've put it in your head, maybe they're more self-conscious. There was a massive backlash online, of course, for highlighting beauty standards while claiming not to, which made me feel bad for the girl in the ad because she's up there. They've stuck her face on it. They're looking at her face and going, this doesn't match the beauty standard. This doesn't match the beauty standard. This doesn't match. They're basically, in a backhanded way, calling this girl really unattractive.
I'm a Sweden guy.
Oh, Sweden. That's awesome.
Like the PewDiePie dude? I don't know.
I would not compare myself to him. That would not be my first choice.
See, I wouldn't either, but... I've spent many a years here on the internet, and every time I say I'm Swedish, that's the one thing that they do.
I mean, you want to give him credit. He is successful. I mean, yeah. As much as I might not like his content, I might not like what he does, but he is successful, so it's really hard to argue with that.
Yeah, you know, I get that. I just kind of a bit miffed that he got to Japan before me, and now it's like, you know, it's mainstream to like Japan. I'm sad about that.
In America and Canada, I'm from Canada. In America and Canada, it's like all like wannabe weeaboos and guys who think that like getting chicks in Asia is going to be easier and stuff. It's almost a cliche is the problem.
Dude, it's gone so full circle here that guys that used to beat me up for liking anime are now asking me for anime recommendations.
Yeah, no, I totally believe that. That's 100% believe that.
That's what I'm saying.
What is your favorite anime? Because we have to judge how much of a nerd you are.
what
a shitty way to start a conversation.
Well, maybe like Code Geass or like Guilty Crown.
Okay, I've heard of those. So yeah. I think I've watched Guilty. I don't think I've seen Code Geass. Like again, I've heard of them. I haven't watched them.
That's a classic.
I watch really, really old stuff, and then every now and then someone will recommend something, and I'll dip in and dip out again. because Ghost in the Shell was probably the one that got me hooked on anime as a concept, because it wasn't dumb kid formulaic stuff, because all the stuff I'd seen before that was really just formulaic, same 20 minutes over and over again. So I was like, oh, this is cartoon.
What age were you when you?
Oh yeah. See, this is it. I'm really old. So, this was like in the 80s, and you'd go into rental shops, like the Asian ones, and they would have VHS cassettes, and some of them were dubbed and some of them were subbed and you didn't know. And they were clearly like stolen or copied off something else. Like that for me was a super exciting time, because when I moved to Vancouver, I lived in Vancouver, has a really big Asian population. They had these like Chinese video rental places, and that's where I started watching Kung Fu movies regularly. And then they had the Asian section with anime and stuff. So that for me, that was a really, it was pre-internet. So it was really exploratory and like, oh man, like I'd never seen anything like this. And there was no one, you didn't talk to anyone about it because no one else had heard of it either. So yeah, I remember the first couple of anime and I was like, oh, this is just weird. I didn't get it. And then I saw a bunch that were like, oh, this is just it's like Sailor Moon. It's just a formula, just like every other kid's cartoon. And then we got to Ghost in the Shell. I was like, oh my God, this is like an adult, full on, complicated story with like depth and morals and stuff. So I was really excited at that point. And that's what got me into it.
Okay. I guess, yeah, you like an OG boomer, seen the stuff back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for sure, I think, like Ghost in the Shell is like a true classic. I think every boomer anime guy I talk to, they're really into that one.
I don't know if I'm old enough to be a boomer.
Okay, no, I guess maybe not a boomer, right?
I would be Gen X technically, but because I'm Gen X, I don't care. So if you want to call me boomer, that's fine. You want to call me something else, it's fine.
No. I just viewed you as like the cool old guy doing cool podcast.
Cool stuff.
Very, very cool. I like this. Yeah.
I find it really funny because I did read a thing about the generations and their attitudes, and I was really annoyed how accurate Gen X was for me.
Really?
Oh, God. Like, because you think I'm an individual. I'm not influenced by my surroundings or my generation and stuff because I'm unique. And then it's like my attitude towards work, 100% accurate. My attitude towards like time off and family and stuff, 100% accurate. My attitude towards like discipline, I was like, oh, God damn, they got me nailed down on that one. It was a bit sad because I am just a product of my time, which you can't get away from it. Everyone is.
That is very fair. I think I was like my first interaction with like anime was just like my brother like pirating stuff on the internet. And so I think I got into it like maybe around, I was like 6 years old, around like 2004 or 5-ish.
What were you watching at 6 years old? That's really interesting.
I was watching Shaman King, like subbed.
That was
like my first anime that I got into. And it's also like, because I think this is really odd, but for some reason they started selling like Shonen Jump here in Sweden. And they didn't like, that was like, I don't know, maybe for a couple of months, and then they just discontinued it. But like I found that and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool, man. And then, you know, my brother got into the Shaman King and I was like, I read that manga. That's pretty cool. And then I just kept rewatching that. I could barely like read English at the time. But you know, I would keep rewatching that stuff.
So I think it was in Finland. They put Dragon Ball on TV like a kid's time, and it was just subtitled. It wasn't dubbed, so they said the literacy of kids went way up because all the kids wanted to know what was happening in Dragon Ball.
Yeah,
because you have to learn to read at the speed of the TV. Like you can't flip back and check stuff again. You got to keep up, so you got to learn to read fast. I thought that was a really cool way of doing it, like getting literacy up by showing kids stuff that's fun.
I just remember that's like one note I wrote down because I'm like, I've seen that so many times. They keep saying this, or like soro soro and stuff.
You do learn a lot of like really standard Japanese phrases, which is actually really good. You just got to be really careful because the way they talk comes like,
yeah.
I didn't learn about rudeness and the little different levels of politeness in Japan until honestly too late. I learned, I came to Japan and I started living here in 2001. And I went to two judo clubs. That's why I came to Japan, was to practice judo. And the guys I was hanging out with, they were all really rough dudes and they talked like gangsters. And I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm copying them because I'm learning all my phrases from them. And then I would go into my Japanese class and I would just start talking about the new phrases I learned. And the teacher's like, oh, dude, no, stop that. And I was like, okay. I got to learn to differentiate. But I am afraid to talk to people on the phone in case I slip into my Yakuza talk.
Oh, wow. So you learned Yakuza go first
before you went to Kegel. I learned the tough guy talk, yes. I wouldn't go as far as Yakuza, but it's clearly like these dudes, they are tough dudes, and they're trying to emulate that. Yeah. So they talk like those guys. Yeah, they talk like a tough guy. And it fit what I was doing, so it made sense. But then I'm in an office, and it's not right anymore. You can't answer the phone and be like, oi, nani suru no? And then they're like, oh, fuck, who's this guy? Yes.
My Japanese friend, like, he, you know, he speaks Swedish and stuff, but he roasted the shit out of my Japanese. He's like, this is trash weeaboo anime Japanese. You can't be, why are you pronouncing it like that?
It is good to learn that early, though. You don't want to learn that like after it's been embedded and you can't change it anymore because it's the only way you know. Because I had a friend who came here and he was very popular with girls, but not like in a sexy way. He was just like very comfortable around women. And so a lot of girls became his friends. And so he had lots of friends and he started talking like them. And so he would talk to other guys and they're like, why do you talk like a woman? And now than it used to be, but it used to be really clear differentiation in the word choice and how you said stuff. And he always chose the female way of speaking. And everyone's like, dude, you gotta stop that. You know, you sound like a girl.
I tried to shadow my friend who speaks Korean with her like Korean friend. And then she was like, you can't do that. You're trying to sound like a cute girl in Korean. I'm like, okay, but.
But maybe I am a cute girl. Maybe that's what I identify as. Why are you like limiting me?
Yeah. Why can't I have that one expression?
Maybe I want to be like a cute girl too. Stone
otherwise.
All right. We're going to start a quiz. Right.
Yeah.
So I give you just an intro to the story and then I'm going to give you four choices and then you can ask me questions about the choices. So I'm going to try to lie my way through so that I can try to make all the four choices sound convincing. Then you have to just guess which one is correct. So we have a guy, he's 49 years old, and he has been arrested for calling the police over 1,000 times and remaining completely silent. So why do you think he remained completely silent? So there are four choices. A, I was waiting them to ask me what my problem was. B, making silent calls calms the mind. C, I had to pretend to work. Or D, I was testing if they could track my phone like on TV. So you can ask me some questions. I'll try to make the story sound good, and then you have to guess which one.
I'm trying to think like if it's either I'm waiting for them to ask me a question or the last one. Which one was that?
The last one was I was testing to see if they could track my phone like they do on TV. Because on TV it's always like keep him on the phone for 30 seconds and we'll track where he is. I found out in reality, like even modern times, if they're technically tracking the phone, it has to take like 5-10 minutes minimum. Like it's probably like half an hour. Cell phones, they use just triangulation. It's a whole different thing. But, you know, if you're using a phone, actually, it's very difficult to track.
Oh, landline?
Yeah, I guess. I just read this thing. It's like apparently really hard to track a phone if you're just trying to track a phone. It's not like the movies. So he did it from August 30th to September 17th. He made 1,301 calls that they've recorded, and he did sometimes up to 183 calls a day. So he was doing not a lot else.
A day. Wow. This guy did not have a life.
He woke up, he started calling the police, they'd answer the phone, he'd go silent, they'd hang up, he'd call back, maybe take a lunch break, but he's working like a full shift of just calling the police all day. It's insane. There's a whole mentality here of what's going on. But that's why, like, for me, the reasoning for most of these stories is the most interesting part. Like, the crime, whatever they commit, sure, people commit crimes. Why? And then the weird ones like this one, like, why would you bother to call the police? Like, play a video game. Do something else. I don't understand. You could find some really simple hobby that would take the place of calling the police and remaining silent. Like, it's not even prank calling or giving them, false information.
if it's that many a day, maybe it's not the tracking thing.
Okay.
I feel like he would have given up earlier if that were the case.
That is some very good reasoning on your part, because it is not D. It is not because he was testing to see if they could track it.
Okay. That's one. And all right. Then
so you're down to three options. Waiting for them to ask me. Making silent calls calms the mind. And I had to pretend to work.
Then I'm thinking it's calms the mind. Maybe it is calms the mind. Because like if somebody is to commit to doing this stuff about, like, you know, 100 times a day, then I can only imagine that, you know, in some really wicked version of reality that's like, I don't know, I guess this guy is very depressed and anxious or bad times mental health situation.
It just brings you some sort of peace.
Yeah. This is like his way of breaking the loop.
I
find that that's the most, I don't know, to me it's the most reasonable explanation to doing this. Because like otherwise it's just like just plain, I mean it is kind of insane, but I could kind of see why someone would do that.
It's the sheer volume is insane. And then
yeah.
Like, it's almost like I can understand prank calling the police more than silence, because prank calling is a form of entertainment. Even if it's dumb, it's like, okay, some people enjoy that. That's how we get, like, prank videos on the internet. But, yeah, I kind of agree with you. The silence makes it so unique. This is actually what drew me to the story. I'm like, what are you getting out of it? So you're going with B.
Yeah.
Is correct. That is 100% correct. He says when he was arrested, he said, making calls to the police and sitting in silence calms my mind. They suspect he was arrested. They did track his phone number, but basically the old-fashioned way, they got his phone number and went to his cell phone carrier and said, who owns this phone? So he wasn't covering his tracks very well. And they suspect he is also involved in 1,300 other calls, but they haven't. Maybe with a different phone, so they can't really link it to him yet. So this guy maybe has done like 2,500 silent phone calls to the police just to keep his mind calm.
But couldn't he pick like a customer service or something that's not... You
know, yeah,
why wouldn't he rotate numbers?
Something like, because to me, the calling the police... Because there's a bunch of stories like I did this thing to relieve stress. A lot of the violent crimes in Japan are because they're basically saying because I'm so stressed out, or the sexual assaults are like because I was so stressed out, I did this thing that's heinous and wrong. And then I'm like, but you do this thing and now you're getting arrested. Like, that's pretty stressful. Like, you may have relieved stress in the short term through this violent act, let's say. But once you get arrested, you now have the court case. You probably lose your job. You might go to jail. You might get arrested. Like, there's so many more levels of stress coming because of the way you act. I guess they're not long-term thinking. This is, again, a very common theme for criminals on Ninja News Japan. I don't pick the ones who have a long view of committing crimes. Yeah, very technically, the second part, the 1,300 other calls, was to emergency services. So he wasn't calling. He was probably calling, you know, ambulance and fire and not just the police. So, yeah, he's got clearly some issues. I'm always torn because I feel bad for the guy, but it's like, you got to find another thing. Play video games. Dude, just play video games. In Saitama Junior High Schools, you can now drink water and not die, which is great. Something people don't know, Japan has the image of being fairly modern. We think about computers and robots and things coming from Japan. My biggest complaint consistently is the heating and cooling of Japan as a country is horrendous. In houses and buildings and stuff, it's often done by air conditioning. So there's like a thing that blows hot air or cold air into the room. I open my door, all the hot and or cold air rushes out of the room, and now I have to like wait for it to get balanced again. If I go out into the hallway, I have a shock coming to me, that kind of stuff. High schools, junior high schools, often have no heating or cooling at all. So in the summer, they open the window, which in my opinion actually probably makes it worse. In the winter, they just close the window and then they'll open it every hour to change the air, which is one of those phrases that you learn to despise if you live in Japan, because basically it's like, hey, the room's nice and warm now. Let's open the air, circulate the air, change the air with all the cold air from outside. It is often very difficult to be comfortable temperature-wise in Japan. So at first, the schools made a rule and they said, it's good manners not to drink in class. Which is, you know, sounds very innocuous, except it's summertime, kids are hot, they're going to die, they need to drink water. You can't really stop them. So parents and stuff were like, dude, my kid needs to drink water regularly. this is not cool. Especially now that summers in Japan are getting hotter and more humid, you get dehydrated so fast. Like I was getting massive headaches regularly and I thought, oh, you know, it's because it's judo. I've been hitting the head so much. Probably not. I started drinking a ton of water this summer and a lot of my headaches went away. I started doing yoga and stretching things out and I got a lot less pain. I realized I just haven't been doing self-care properly. Drink water, stretch. Even if you're old and only doing a little bit, it's good for you. If you're young, not doing it, you should start now so that it's not hard later like I had to. Because now when I stretch, it's like, there are some weird sounds that come out when I stretch. So then the school board was like, you know, we got to modify this rule. Parents aren't happy, so we'll change it. So no drinking while the teacher is talking or students are in discussion. They're like, dude, you're talking the whole time you're in class and or the students are discussing. So you've basically changed the words of the rule so it sounds like you're allowed to drink, but you're still not allowed to drink in class. That's not cool. So then they changed it a third time. They said students can hydrate when they're like, there are no restrictions, which again, we're talking about almost fundamental human rights, the ability to drink water. Yeah, let the kids hydrate. This goes back, there's other stories about cops on duty being allowed to get drinks and stuff in the summertime. I'm like, yes, how are you supposed to run down a criminal serial killer if you haven't had water in 5 hours? And that the serial killer, I guarantee he's been drinking human blood. He's well hydrated because he's got a water chaser with that to make sure it all flushes down and gets all the power of Satan in him. That gives you running energy. I don't know where that last part came from. I did watch Late Night with the Devil, which is a fairly low budget film, but quite interesting, quite well done. I enjoyed it. If you like scary movies, it is October. Maybe worth looking into. A police chief inspector. That's it. I was getting the pause wrong on that. A police chief inspector invited a subordinate. They were working on the same case to come to the same hair salon where he gets his haircut. Seems very nice. Sort of a nice team building thing. I get a haircut. You've maybe mentioned it. Let's go to the same place. I'll take you to it. They'll give you a sweet haircut. We're both going to look fly as we chase down serial killers. Oh my God. I linked these two stories unintentionally. That's amazing. But the superior said, the chief inspector said, hey, my buddy stylist, I want you to cut a circle and a line in the back of this guy's hair while you're cutting his hair, because that'd be a funny prank and everyone's going to like that. You know, I don't have a particularly strong feeling about my hair, especially since I've started losing most of it. But if someone cut a circle and a line into my head and I hadn't asked for that, I think that might be a bit of an issue. I could see someone getting very upset. Let's see where the story goes. When the officer returned to work, a coworker pointed it out. So he went at least a whole day. So he got maybe cut, let's say that night, went home, maybe lives by himself. No one noticed at home. He's showering and stuff. He doesn't feel the circle and line on the back of his head. Then he goes out. So he's on the train. He goes to work. And then one of his coworkers is like, dude, you got a circle and line cut in the back of your head. So of course he was angry. The chief inspector said, I invited police officer to the salon to enliven the mood at work. I thought we had a strong enough relationship, but the prank went too far. The thing that bothers me about that is not an apology. He's just saying like, oopsie, kind of messed up that guy's head and it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be, which is not a very good excuse. I actually think, and here's the thing, you work with a guy. At what point are you close enough where I'm going to have a circle and a line shaved into the back of your head is funny? Like, I'm going to ruin your look for at least until that amount of hair grows back is funny. That's not funny. That's like, you got to really, really know someone to know if that's okay. And my second thought is, why would the stylist go along with this? Like, if you are a professional hairstylist, you, I assume, take a certain amount of pride in your work. And then this guy comes and said like, hey, let's ruin this other guy's head. I'd be like, that's not a good idea. I'm not comfortable with that, man. He is a police chief inspector. So maybe that gives him some form of authority over other people and people are more willing to listen to him. But I'd be like, nah, you can prank him on your own. I'm not going to participate in this one. So I think they should both get in trouble. A principal was arrested. School principal. It was a principal who was arrested. He was running. He's our serial killer for this episode. He was running. The police started getting calls on October 8th and they said someone is running with his lower half exposed. Now, lower half is his pee-pee. October 10th, the police sort of upped some patrols in the area going, well, He's jogging with his pee-pee out. So let's try to see if anyone just sort of runs by us with their pee-pee out. Lo and behold, they found a man running with his shorts torn and his lower half visible. I do like they use lower half. He was immediately arrested for public indecency. His defense was, there was a hole in my shorts a week ago. My lower body was exposed, but I wasn't trying to show it. So what he's incidentally doing is incriminating himself by saying, every day, at least since last week, if I have gone running, I've gone running knowing that my lower half, my pee-pee, was out flying in the wind as I was running around. Side question. Why not underwear? Like, I know about runners' nipples chafe if they wear a shirt and they run a marathon. But if you don't wear underwear, isn't it like things kind of bang around? There are guys who do judo with no underwear on, and I've never been one of those guys. I want to keep everything like locked up and secure, and I don't want any rubbing. I don't want to, I want the least amount of jostling and movement possible. This guy, apparently, on the other hand, thought, free bird, let's get it out there. Let's get the wind in his hair and just make things happen. And maybe the world just improves a little bit. And, you know, he was drinking human blood that morning. So maybe that had impacted his capacity for thought. A 20-year-old civic employee was given a 6-month suspension for taking a part-time job at a soap land. If you are not in Japan, you may not know what a soap land is. Now, there are brothels and things like that. There are places where you can go and have sex called love hotels, paid by the hour. Soapland is a little different. They don't promise you sexual intercourse. What you do is I would get naked and I would lay down and then a lady would oil me up and rub her body against me. That's supposed to be all that happens. Maybe more does, maybe less. I don't know. I've never gone to one. The idea of laying down where multiple men have lain down and being covered in oil and then rubbed by someone I don't know is not appealing to me at all. You would have to power wash the entire place with bleach before I would even consider going in there. So just so you know where I'm coming from, some people this appeals to, this does not appeal to me at all. The government, the woman was a civic employee. Now, the government allows you to take part-time jobs with permission, but they will not allow you to do part-time jobs as adult entertainment because they think that makes the government look bad. So she knew that, so she didn't ask. I mean, makes sense. What was happening, there's two possibilities here. One, she was at work and she was falling asleep at work. She was tired because she was working during the day as a civic engineer, a civic employee, sorry. She was working during the day as a civic employee. And then at night she was doing the soap land. So maybe her performance at work was waning and people got suspicious, but they claim there was an anonymous tip. So either someone at work was like, something's up with this lady. I'm going to follow her and check what she's doing. They follow her home. They follow her to the soap land where she works, and they find out she goes in, she comes out hours later. Maybe they go in for a little session themselves, who knows? Or a customer at the soap land somehow finds out that during the day, this is a civic employee. Maybe they were a citizen of the area, had seen her as a civic employee, and then went to the soap land that night, kind of ratting themselves out, if we're being really honest. To me, if I was the citizen and I go to a soap land and I see one of the people who served me at City Hall, let's say, there. If she does a good job, no complaints. I'm not going to turn you in. I'm not going to go to that place. Again, we can reestablish that a million times over. I'm not going to that place. But if I did and I saw someone I recognized and they still did a good job, we're good. I got nothing to say. I'm just as guilty for being here as you are for working here. Let's put it that way. So to me, someone had to be pissed off at her. So I'm thinking actually because she was struggling at work because she was so tired, that led to some other problems and someone started looking into what she was doing outside of work to find out why she was so tired. She was given a 6-month suspension. She decided to resign. She claimed the reason she took the part-time job was because she has ¥1,000,000 in debt. Now I was like, oh, ¥1,000,000 in debt, you know. Yeah, you got to work 2 jobs to take care of that. The soap land's obviously going to pay very well. She said she did the soap land 70 times and made 1.4 million yen. I was like, whoa, I might be working at a soap land. 70 times and I can make ¥1,000,000? I don't know what the hours are like or how long they are. Obviously, you're working late at night because she was tired all day. So that was a whole different set of problems. But she accumulated the debt from shopping for clothes. So that's actually where my sympathy drops off because you drove yourself into debt through shopping, took a job you knew you weren't supposed to take. It paid very well. You paid off your debt. You kept doing it because she had 1 million yen in debt, made 1.4 million yen. Does seem like she was going to keep going, probably so she could make money to keep shopping. Her initial job was suffering. Yeah, I'm actually on board with her getting a 6-month suspension, if not more. She decided to resign instead, which I think everyone's probably satisfied with that as a result.